The Gemara in Baba Basra, sugya for tonight, Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, wants to know who gets the Yerusha, an overview tonight of Yerusha and Nachala. Who gets the Yerusha when it's between the grandfather and brother of the deceased? Both sides are presented, as the Gemara Shilas. Both sides are presented, the grandfather and brother. Either the father is first, and if the father isn't around, then it goes to the grandfather, because as the phrase goes, Banim, Bnei Banim Harehim Kibanim. Or no, not Bnei Banim Harehim Kibanim. Since the father, the other way to look at it is, since the father comes before the brother to pick up Yerusha, but really the father passes it down to his other son, a.k.a. the brother, then the brother is essentially inheriting from the father. The brother is essentially inheriting from the father, from his father. That's how Rashi just explains the Gemara. Very simple so far. That's how Rashi, there, Baba Basra, Kufta, Zayin Abbeiz, Dura Maschol, Avi Ha'av. It's a top right there, top right Rashi. Dura Maschol, Avi Ha'av. The opening question of our sugya, here we go. Are there any age limitations when it comes to Yerusha? How young is young? How young is too young? The Rambam in Hilchos Nachalos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Gimel, 1:13, tells us, even a child who's a baby and has only been alive for an hour, he inherits his mother's Nachala if she dies at that time.
Only the mother's?
The example, the Rambam's, that's like the Rambam's terminology.
I don't know. It's more like for a baby to die.
It's just, correct, Lav Dafkish. The Ravid says no. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. The Ravid says no. He can't inherit unless he's Kalulo Chadashav. There's an important phrase to get down because it's going to be relevant to another area of Halacha in about a second. Kalulo Chadashav, which means he's been living for a month. Yeah.
Isn't the Gemara Nida that says like as long as...
We're about to quote that. Very good. Tosfos in Baba Basra, Kuf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, quotes from the Gemara in Nida, Isaac. Excellent. The Gemara in Nida, Mem Gimel Amud Beis, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Mem Gimel Amud Beis, like the Rambam, like the first opinion that we quoted, that even a Ben Yom Echad, just like we feed him Truma, if he's a Kohen, so too he is Nochel the Yerusha. Okay? The Ramban makes it clear that even if we paskin like that, a Nefel is not Yoresh and is not a Bar Yerusha at all. The Gemara in Nida a blot later, very good, Isaac, the Gemara in Nida a blot later, Memdal Damabe says the only time we say we need Kalulo Chadashav for him to survive a month is exactly what I said, we're going to get to this in another area of Halacha and Shas, which is Maseches Moikat on Hilchus Avelos, the only time that we need that, which is why our next Makor is the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach. The Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach says, when it comes to Avelos, Beis Vav, Perek Beis Halacha Vav, the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach tells us, you're only chayav for killing someone who is Kalu Lo Chadashav, Kalu with a Chaf, Kalu Lo Chadashav. That's the youngest age we observe Avelos for. A baby born prematurely before 9 months is considered a Nefel, and you must wait 30 days to see if he or she is considered Kalulo Chadashav. You're right. The way they understand is that it's different for Avelos. Avelos, you should just know, it's important to know, it's a totally different area of Halacha from anything we're familiar with, because we say in Avelos, important to get this down and to know this, just in general for Shas Yedidas, Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel Ba'avel. That we always go to Kula, meaning there are things that are Doraisa. There are things, Shloshim is Parshas Vayichi, Yoni Tarmitza Parsha. There are Dinim in the Torah that we learn from Avelos, but, I would put up a 3 for January 3rd. Very good. But anyway, very good. Anyway, fellas, that's how you would explain the Rambam. You're right, but the Rambam in Hilchos Avelos is different. Let's move forward. The Mishnah in Yevamos, Lamed Hamid Beis, Yevamos, Lamed Hamid Beis, the Mishnah in Yevamos quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, if the child who's, I'm putting this in my own quotes, if the child who's, so to speak, alive, but is a Nefel at the time the father dies, there is Yibam v'chalitza. This is a Gemara in Yevamos, Mishnah in Yevamos, because it's in the context of Yibam v'chalitza. Because you have to wait 30 days to see if the baby is Kalulo Chadashav. He has to live, he has to survive a month. If he survives a month. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Say the Chachamim, this is in the Mishnah of Yevam Islam and Heyman Beis, say the Chachamim, there is no Yibam V'chalitza, because the child is a Bar Kayama.
Who says that?
This is the Chachamim's opinion, disagreeing with the Rishon Gamliel on the Mishnah Nuvah Meslamed Hay. Tosvos in that Gemara explain that the Chashash of Nefel is only Midrabanan. Only Midrabanan. But Minat Torah, everybody agrees with the Chachamim. And that's why I'll go back to what I said about a minute ago. Specifically in Hilchos Avelos has a different set of rules. Specifically in Hilchos Avelos, we consider, which is in Shas, in Perek Elo Megalchim, the third Perek of Moed Kup, and I always say every week I drill this through, we have to know where things are in Shas. So, specifically in Hilchos Avelos, we consider the child to be a Nefel. Because we say, I took the words right out of my own mouth, Halacha Kedivra Amekel Ba'avel. Even if the baby dies on day 30, there's no Avelos. That's important to know, Halacha L'maisa. Even if the baby dies on day 30, there is no Avelos.
Do we consider sitting, like,
well, here we're saying we were backing up halacha divrei mekel ba'avel by saying that there wouldn't be avelos. No, we're saying that would be a kula. Correct. Good. The Rama, as well as the Shulchan Aruch and Evan Ezer, our next marker. The Rama, as well as the Shulchan Aruch and Evan Ezer, in Hilchos Chalitza, disagrees with the Psak of the Gemara. We don't observe avelos. Right, the Gemara had said that maybe we do. The Rama, so that was mainly the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama in Hilchos Chalitza, on that Shulchan Aruch says, sides with the Gemara that you consider Kalulo Chadashav, a full month's term, to be into the ninth month. And therefore, you do observe Avelos for such a baby. Now we're going to jump ahead a few hundred years to the Grand Rebbe. Rabbi Schechter explains, right? Rabbi Schechter's opinion in all this was that he felt important to get down. He felt the Bizman Hazeh. Says Rabbi Schechter, he felt the Bizman Hazeh, if the baby dies within 30 days into the ninth month, that's still considered to be a premature baby if he dies into the ninth month. Still considered to be a premature baby. We don't observe Avelos for such a baby. However, not everybody agrees that we would paskin that a Nefel is Yoresh. We were talking about Avelos. Not everybody agrees that a Nefel is Yoresh. Comes the Yerushalmi in Psachim in the second Perek and Perek Kol Shah, the Yerushalmi in the first Halacha there, the Yerushalmi in Psachim, Beis Aleph. Perek Beis, we always say the Yerushalmi is broken up by Halacha, something we all knew that. Beis Halacha Aleph quotes the Pasuk from Parshas Tazria, that's Vayikra, Perek Yud Gimel, Isha Ki Sazria V'yolda Zachar. The opening pasuk tells us Zachar. So Medavka Zachar, I'm emphasizing this because the Yerushalmi and Pesachim emphasizes this. Isha ki tazriya v'yalda Zachar. That includes if the woman gives birth to a baby that comes out of the womb as a mace. Even if it comes out of the womb as a mace, that includes that type of baby. Had the pasuk said then, that would have implied a chai. Only a chai. That's the Yerushalmi's diuk in the pasuk. Like it or hate it, but that's the Yerushalmi's diuk in the pasuk. I also do. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense because, you could say that Ben is also a male, but there's a difference because the ensuing psukim are the imne keva seleid, contrasting zachar and nekeva, and specifically the psukim also say Ben Ubas. But the psukim go on to explain that there's a difference in zachar or nekeva, chai or mace, how many days of tumah v'tahara you have, almost triple the amount for one gender over the other. That's the diuk, yeah.
Right, so the nachmina for that would just be whether she has to keep yemei tahara or not.
Here that has nothing to do with it. I was just saying why I personally resonate with it. That we open up the parsha. Don't get so tied up, because that point of whether the diuk is correct is very much tangential. That's all. No, I was just saying that the pasuk begins Zachar and Nekeva, and that is Kisazria v'yalda Zachar, and the next pasuk is in Nekeva Seleid, that the Lashon of Zachar and Nekeva is telling you Chayr Meis. That's all. You can like it or hate it. The later psukim, I mean, it's not so much later, it's actually, only a few psukim later, deal with how many days you wait until you bring a karban, a.k.a. how many days your Tmeah for a Zachar and Akeva. Onward. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, explains Esther's early life as an orphan. And the Gemara says, we're benching Chodesh Adar the Shabbos, so it's in Yonah Deyomo already. that the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Gimel explains that Esther's, right, Esther's early life as an orphan, and the Gemara says, listen carefully, when she was in the womb, her father died. Once she was born, when she came out of the womb, once she was officially born, she was a chai, her mother died. Rashi in Megillah on Daf Yud Gimel, Dibur Maschil Bisha'a, tells us, it's as if she never had a father. Because an uber whose father passes away, at that point before the child is born, it's as if they never had a father. Thus, therefore, the ben or bas at that point doesn't have the din of a ben or bas, and would be excluded and non-existent in terms of Yerusha. Would be excluded and non-existent, that's Rashi's diuk, would be excluded, correct. Yeah. Good, would be excluded from Yerusha. Joshi, good? The Marsha in Sota. The Marsha in Sota, Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis. The Marsha in Sota, Mem Aleph Amid Beis, Dibra Maschil, Kol Adam, distinguishes between Av and Aim. From the fact that, an example from Chomesh, from the fact that Yitzchak and Esav and others were only Nikra through their mother's family, and that's the side of the family that determines your religion, whether or not you're Jewish, so too, Uber Yerech Imo. I'm playing spoiler for
week 22.
Later. That's for Temura. That's actually this week. For Temura. For Temura. Uber Yerech Imo, in the sense that your mother is always, your mother, pay attention, your mother is always in that role. Your mother is always in that role and always related to you, even if she passes away, while the baby is only an Uber and hasn't been born yet. Once, where do we get this from? What do we, okay, but where do we get this from? Fine, where do we get this from? The Pasuk says, Mimeayich yiparedu, from the intestines. Ula omil om yamatz v'rav yavot, so your parshas told us, but Mimeayich yiparedu. Then the baby can be called his father's son, not beforehand. Then and only then can the baby be called his father's son. The father is only called so once the child has been born. There's a difference here then between the mother and the father as far as the child's concerned. The Gemara in our Masechta for tonight, Daf Kuf Mem Amid Beis, the Gemara Baba Basra says, if the Tumtum, one with no gender, Simanim, this is the way that we finish Seder's rhyme, see him at 8 o'clock, 8:05, right here, Sunday night, Seder's Run, Josh Eagle. Seriously, stop it with that nonsense. If the Tumtum, one with no gender, Simanim, as opposed to the androgynous, which has both, if the Tumtum, we actually have an androgynous living in Kiryat Shmuel, if the Tumtum is the only child, what?
It's public knowledge.
I don't know how public it is, but we
it's not recorded.
I don't care. If the tumtum is the only child, so people can make aliyah. People in YU can make aliyah. That itself would be a chiddush. If the tumtum is the only child alive, our finest line since Maseches Megillah with Noam Zolti.
Oh, let's go.
If the tumtum, fellas, if the tumtum is the only child alive when the parents pass away, this is important to note. If the tumtum is the only child alive when the parents pass away, he is Yoresh everything. He is Yoresh everything, Yonaleh. The tumtum is Yoresh everything in that case. The Rashbam on that Gemara, Kuf Mem Amud Beis, fellas, the Rashbam says this is because he's called a Karov. I emphasize Karov, he's called a Karov, and even if the Tumtum is not called a Ben, because he has no male features, he's Yoresh, because he's considered a Karov. That's all that matters. That's all that matters in this case. Maybe it can be carried over to the Rambam, that a Nefel, I think we mentioned this Rambam before, but that a Nefel can also be Yoresh because he's called a Karov. If we didn't mention it, so we're mentioning it now first. The Shita of Rambam is that a Nefel can also be Yoresh if he's called a Karov. I need to see what my tummy is. Because he's called a Karov. You know how much I love you. Because he's called a Karov.
When you say Nefel,
yeah,
the Rambam thing, that's just a that a miscarriage is just a, that's just a premature baby.
That does.
It would be, we can assume miscarriage. We can assume miscarriage unless it's very premature.
What's
yeah. Unless it's very premature, and then sometimes the two overlap. Yeah.
Why would it, like, in general, like, giving Yerusha to Nephil isn't really doing anything?
No, we were, of course, but we were talking about just in the realm of how do you paskin, because we want to get to, we're discussing the age limitation in our first question, that's all. You're right, but in terms of the age limitation, just like the age discussion, how young is young? That would mean that there's no. We're talking about like in the realm of Lumdus, fellas. That would mean though that there is a unique onward. That would mean that there's a unique din in Yanei Nachalos. That would mean there's a unique din in Yanei Nachalos that you don't need to be considered a ben to be considered one worthy of inheritance. I didn't mean that he's actually whatever, but that's why I need to finish that sentence. That's unlike Ibn and Chalitza. Where you need to be considered a ben. In Yibim and Chalitza, you need to be considered a ben. It's in that pasuk. And if lo kol lo chadashav, he hasn't lived, survived a month, it's not called a ben. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pei Dalet Amud Beis, tells us that those who get chenek, strangulation, one of the Arba Misos, those who get chenek include one who's make ove ve'imo. I just realized this is our parsha. And one who kidnaps. It needs to bring the pasuk. It's been like the last few weeks where like we've had that. It needs to bring the pasuk of. It needs to bring the pasuk of makei ish, vameis mos yumas, the pasuk in Shmos Perachaf Aleph. I hope that I'm not stealing our chaver's shana betchalon dvar Torah, but Shmos Chaf Aleph, because had it just said, follow me for a second. Had it just said. Makei nefesh, like the pasuk in Vayikra Perchav Dalid in Emor, the end of Emor, that would have included a nefel, or even a baby who just had his bris, but is not yet 30 days old. People become Jewish at a bris, they're not yet 30 days old. So you can say, yeah, well, an 8-day old also, right? Vlados that are still in their mother's womb, as long as they haven't exited to the world yet, are still considered nephilim. Because they're not yet 30 days old. So that would overlap. Meaning it's gam v'gam. In answer to your question before, it's premature as well as a miscarriage. Yeah. In order to punish someone as a murderer, he needs to kill an ish. But that's only in Hilchos Ritzicha. As we pointed out before, we're going to mention again, the areas in Shas, the areas in Halacha, like Avelus, like Yibim and Chalitza, like Ritzicha, which we just discussed now, that's only in Hilchos Ritzicha. They have their own separate dinim. Avelus says Halacha Gevur Meikel Ba'avel. Yibim and Chalitza, we quoted the Rambam, we quoted the Mishnah, Yivam Shemeshim Gamliel Machacham. I mean, we've quoted about four or five, even just our first question. But for Inyana Yerusha, let's get back to the Shir. But for Inyana Yerusha, all you need is to be a Karov. And even im lo kalu lo chadashav, you're still a karov, which you mentioned before and we want to emphasize now. Second question of the sugya. Are daughters yoresh? What's the din Yerusha with daughters? The Rambam in Hilchos Nachlos opens this up for us as well. This is the Rambam, Perek Hey Halacha Aleph. The Rambam in Nachlos, Hey Aleph, tells us if all the parent leaves are a tumtum or androgynous in terms of progeny, as well as a ben, the ben is yoresh everything, because both the tumtum and androgynous are considered sveikos, in terms of Yerusha Nachal. But if all the parent leaves are a tumtum and androgynous, as well as a bas, as opposed to a ben, as well as a bas, they split the Yerusha. It was a bat, they split the Yerusha, because compared with a bas, the sveikos are considered one of the banos. Okay? That's the Rambam. Comes the Rush. In Baba Basra, Kuf Mem Mamed Beis, otherwise known if you want the Simin, the ninth Perek, Tes Dalid, the ninth Perek, Simin Dalid. Important, no? If it's just, says the Rush, if it's just a Tumtum and Bas with a lot of property, the Tumtum takes 3/4, breaking up the fractions here, and leaves the Bas with the rest, leaves the daughter with the rest. You see that the Tumtum is entitled to more money than the daughter.
Three quarters.
Three quarters.
Why would we break it up like that? Where do you get that from?
the Suffolk man.
Right. He breaks exactly like that. He breaks up, yeah, the genders. And since you're dealing with Svekos, you split the Svekos in half and you give one more to the boss.
I'll bite that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you give one more to the Tumtum. Right. Comes the Mishnah in Nazir Yud Beis Amid Beis. The Mishnah in Nazir Yud Beis Amid Beis, and tells us that one who says, Hareini Nazir, if I have a ben, and he ends up having either a bas, tuntum, or androgynous, he is not a Nazir. Okay, that far I could follow. Rashi on that Mishnah tells us that's not considered a Vlad for these purposes at all. That's because he specified. That's because the guy, because all Nazirus, all Yoni Nazirus, are in Yoni Nadarim, because he specified. But if he doesn't specify, then he is a Nazir, because that's called the Vlad.
So what would be an example of not specifying?
So maybe we can say that one is called the Ben. Maybe we could say...
Can Ben qualify as saying kid?
I thought
sometimes so. You refer to...
Before we go on, I'll reference something that we already mentioned in Shir, and that is the difference between the Yerushalmi and Psachim, the difference between Zachar and Ben. Again, it's all going to be your verbiage. I think that's a good answer, because if you said Ben...
Ben's
a
lot.
Is verbiage or...
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
Maybe we can say... Let's go on. Maybe we can say... Maybe we can say that one is called a Ben, only if he knows for sure that he's a Ben. But if we have any suffix, fellas, if we have any suffix, then he's not called a Ben. Comes the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Chav Vav Amadeis, and tells us, a Tumtum who is discovered to be a Zachar, and here I'll use Zachar interchangeable with Ben, does not receive Pishnayim, the regular din for a Bechor. He doesn't receive a double portion, and he's incapable of being classified as a Ben Sora Ramora. This is, we've spoken about 8 different areas of Halacha, without exaggeration, already, because he needs to be a Ben from birth. Very important, he's a Ben from birth, Jacob.
Isn't it Tumtum?
It's very strange.
He was always a Ben, we just didn't know.
Very good. It's very strange, because it's one thing to need a Yediyah Brura, to need a clear Yediyah, what's called a Yediyah Brura. Yeah, to be a Yediyah Brura, that the child is a Ben. But he is, Betoras Vadai. He is, Betoras Vadai, he's definitely. Only by us was it a Suffolk. Important to clarify that. Only by us was it a Suffolk. But the Simanim were there from birth. We just didn't know. Iglai Milsa, that he, you know. There are three areas, though, where Svekos... Okay. There are three areas... Yeah, because they each have their own rules and regulations. There are three areas where Svekos... You have to ignore that. When you're following the shiur, you have to completely ignore that. You have to completely ignore that. There are three areas, just tangentially, there are three areas where Svekos, without a yidia, without knowledge, or without an inherent yidia, make a difference. Zmanim, Tumavatara, this is just a good snapple fact. Zmanim, Tumavatara, and Yerusha. As we spoke about with a tumtum in a bus. I spoke to him tonight. So yeah. Shilte Giborim. The Shilte Giborim in Yevamos. Zmanim. Tumavatara and Yerusha. The Shilte Giborim in Yevamos in the 9th parak tells us if the Yavam has daughters. Are you with us, Yashi? The Shilte Giborim in Yevamos in the 9th parak tells us if the Yavam has daughters who each want the entire Yerusha, they divide it up. Since each of them receiving the entire Yerusha is impossible. So they split it up, obviously. Comes the Beis Shmuel in Shulchan Aruch. What? I think that the Shulchan Aruch just meant to clarify that. I mean, that's in the context of a larger
Sugya. Maybe it's the case if everyone wants.
I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure everyone wants a total piece of the pie. Yeah. Comes the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel says, Beis Shmuel and Evan Ezer, Simen Kuf Samach Gimel. The Beis Shmuel was one of the Nosei Kalim in Evan Ezer. He is one of the Nosei Kalim in Evan Ezer. The Beis Shmuel in Evan Ezer, Kuf Samech Gimel, says that's according to the Rambam. But according to the Rush, really the case is daughters fighting with a son. The daughters do get the entire Yerusha when they go up against the Tumtum, not the son. When they go up against the Tumtum, they do. Al Pidin,
so
the Tumtum takes the first Chalak of the Yerusha, and the rest would be considered Maman Hamuto B'Safek, which I'm sure the Shana Bet guys can tell me.
Choken.
Which we know from Bava Metzia, Beis Mevez, exactly, we pass them like Sumchus. Really? The Maman Hamuto B'Safek Choken, so they split the Yerusha.
Why would a Tumtum be worse than Abbas?
Because Abbas is a Vadai.
But didn't we just...
That's the way that we see it, that Sveikos are worse.
So even though the... So what about the Androgynous? Even the Androgynous...
The Androgynous has both.
It's still Safek.
You're right.
Vada should be the Safek.
But that's what they say, I think that we quoted, I just forget which region we quoted, that it's a better Safek. You don't know, you're 100% right. But it's a better Safek. It's like an enhanced Safek, yeah.
Didn't we just say that the Rosh and Simon Dalits is just Tumtum in a bar with lots of property, 3/4 goes to the Tumtum? And the rest goes to the bottom.
Yeah, that's difficult to understand. You're right. And the way you know that it's difficult is because, no pun intended, 3 out of 4 Rishonim are against the Rosh. Well done.
That was a little unreal.
Yeah. Next, Joshy, come on. Next, why does the son have Kadima to be Rosh? We've done the age limitations. We've done the daughter. Now we're on to the son. Why does the son have Kadima to be Rosh? Why does he have Kadima? The Baal Amor in Bava Basra Kuf Chesamad Aleph, on the Gemara in Kuf Chesamad Aleph. The Baal Amor says, okay, maybe, yeah. Well, we're going to get to that at the end, but we're going to go through all of the Kadima. The Baal Amor says. The Ben isn't Yoresh as a Karov necessarily. It's as if the father's still alive, and he's directly under the father, in the sense of the hierarchy of Yerusha. That's why, says the Baal Amor, that's why the brother inherits before the grandfather, which we started the shiur with. Those who were at the beginning of the shiur, that's what we started with. There's a certain continuity that the ben continues the legacy of the father. In a different context, that's what the Rashbam, Daf Kuf Mem Alef Mabez, means, that an Ashes Kohen can eat Truma if her husband passes away. An Ashes Kohen can eat Truma if her husband passes away because of her son. And the continuity that exists from the father Kohen, it's as if he's still alive. Rashi in Yevamos, Samach Beis Amad Aleph, tells us that when it comes to non-Jews, the sons and daughters are Yoresh equally. It's still true, though, that if there's no Ben, then Yoni, you're 100% right, and this is what I'm going to say right now. The Pasuk, as I state in Pasuk, Va'avartem es nachaloso levito. Meaning, yes, the son comes first, and then the daughter in the absence of a son, which implies that a son doesn't necessarily have kadima to a daughter. And that's why, listen carefully, that's why you have to medayik in the pasuk. That's why the lashon havara is used. That word in the pasuk, we're not a shir that's known for our textual diukim, but the pasuk says va'avartem es nachaloso levito. That's why the lashon havara is used. It's a transfer. In English, we would call it a transfer. It's a transfer. But by all other relatives, the term unisatem is used. There's a difference, fellas, between havara and nesina. Havara and nesina. Havara is a transfer. Nesina is it goes from one to the next. It also speaks to the relationship between the father and son in particular. It speaks a lot about that, meaning it speaks to that point. The relationship between the father and son in particular. Comes the Gemara in our Masechta for tonight, Daf Kuf Ches, tells us in the list at the beginning of Perek Yesh Nochlin are those who are Nochlin. Those who are Nochlin. They inherit from their deceased relatives, and Elu Nochlin, the Elu Nochlin, Umanchilin, very good. They pass on their Chelek, they pass on their Nachala. And when they pass away, and when they pass away, right, the next people are the father and son. The father is listed first because Aschule Puranusa Lomas Chalinon, which means it's a Simon Klala to be speaking about the father's Nachala when the son is passed on. Additionally, Additionally, the Pasuk tells us in Bereishis, Perek Mem Vav, tells us, it mentions, V'yosef yashish yado aleinecha, that it's a siman bracha to have sons bury their fathers, and not the other way around. So that's why, again, they were careful in the Pasuk. Comes the Ramban in Parshas Pinchas by Nachlos. Yeah. I don't know. That's
no,
true.
Is that the question that we say, no, because we're from Joshua?
Right, right. You can get out of that, but I was just quoting, you know, from the difference in the Pasuk between Avara and Asina. The Ramban in Bamidbar, in Parshas Pinchas, which is where Nachla appears in Chumash, in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The Ramban in Bamidbar, get this down, Chav Zayin Pasuk Tes. Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Tes tells us that the father inherits from the son when the son doesn't have any children. It's strange that the Pasuk doesn't mention this, though. There's no mention of this because, why not? Because every manchil is nochel. The relationship is equated. It's a lateral transfer. Okay?
These are all like dinim in the first two daf.
Yeah.
Every manchil is nochel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also why the Gemara...
There's elam manchil and elonochel.
Yeah, the first mishnah.
The mom is manchila, but she's not nochel.
All four possibilities.
Right, there are possibilities, but in that term, what I said in English to start off, correct. That's under manchil v'nochel. Correct. Right. Meaning it's a lateral transfer in that. Thank you for keeping me on my toes.
It was Isaac.
In that case, it's a lateral transfer. Fellas, in that case, it's a lateral transfer. It's the father-son equation. Moving forward. That's also why the Gemara says, we just quoted this, we're moving forward. That's also why the Gemara says, Aschule Puranus alom aschulinum, because the Torah generally speaks b'loshon bracha, and not b'loshon puranus, not b'loshon, you know, tragedy. That's why it never mentioned explicitly that the father inherits the son, only that the son inherits from the father. The Pasuk also never mentions explicitly that a father passes on the Yerusha to his son. The father passes on the Yerusha to his son. Comes the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud and tells us, just as right, it just infers it from the fact that the Pasuk in Chumash, Uvein Ein Lo. We have to know Chumash, fellas. But, Ha Yesh Lo Ben, Ha Ben Kodem. Okay? There was no need to mention the transferring. There was no need to mention the transferring of Yerusha explicitly because it's a Davar HaBabateva. Father to son. It's a Davar HaBabateva. It's natural and goes without saying, literally. It's exactly like the Shalshalas Chaya Adam, and the fact that a son builds the father's house and continues his legacy makes him the obvious Yoresh. The Rashbam on Daf Kuf Mem Aleph tells us anyone who doesn't allow the son to inherit from the father, Hashem will punish them severely with his anger, because then you won't have anyone to continue the Shem HaMeis, and that's terrible. That's an issue of Kavod HaMeis. The idea of Nesina, we made a chiluk a few minutes ago between Havara and Nesina. The idea of Nesina giving over isn't deserving of mention because the chiyuv is a natural one. That's so obvious and assume that the term is unnecessary. That's the way the Rashbam understands. Next, we did daughters, we did age, we did sons. Our brothers Yoresh, we did Tum Tumah Androgynous. Our brothers Yoresh, what's the story with brothers? Yeah. The question comes up, let's get a little bit of background, the question comes up, when a father instructs that his property and possession should go to his son, if his son doesn't have any Yorashim, what should we do? There's a machlokes of what this means. Again, the question comes up when a father instructs that his property and possessions go to his son, and the son doesn't have any Yorashim. So the Beis Yosef in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Reish Nun Gimel, Seif Katan Yud Zayin, says the Beis Yosef, Im Ein Laban of Yorashim, includes brothers in that list of Yorashim. In Hebrew, the Beis Yosef quoting from the Gemara, that Im Ein Laban of Yorashim, comes to Beis Yosef and says that includes brothers in that list of Yorashim. Comes the Darkei Moshe in that Simen, the Darkei Moshe, one of the Nosei Kalim, one of the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Reish Nun Gimel, comes the Darkei Moshe and says, the Sifkatan Ches not Yud Zayin, but Ches, the Darki Moshe explains, the brother is included as a Yoresh from the father, but not from his brother, a.k.a. the Bechor son, not from his older brother. He's a Yoresh from his father. They're arguing, basically, what's behind the Machlokes, as my colleague likes to say. They're arguing whether, Musar 1220, they're arguing whether the brother is an automatic Yoresh, or whether the brother is a Yoresh from the father. That's the Nekudas HaMachlokes. Whether the brother is an automatic Yoresh, Machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Darki Moshe, or whether the brother is a Yoresh from the father. The Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, about 30 simonim later, in Reish Pei Aleph, you can go a minute if you need, the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, Reish Pei Aleph, next week, Shana Bet Shalin just walked in. The Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, Reish Pei Aleph, says that a person can transfer his Yerusha among his sons, sure, or a brother can do so among his other brothers. I don't want you to miss this, though.
I'm here.
Just enough. The Shulchan Aruch says a person can transfer his Yerusha among his sons, or a brother. The key word here is a brother. Or a brother can do so. A brother can do so among his other brothers. From here you see that a brother inherits directly, which is also Jemel, the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam holds this also. The brother inherits directly. By the very fact that one brother has the authority to distribute Yerusha among the other brothers. The explanation here is that two things. One is, A is, this only works for Yerusha, and not to transfer over anything else, Liachar Misa. Only things that were stipulated in the will and in Yerusha. The second thing it clarifies is, there's no such concept as Yerusha Bekever, meaning, there's no such concept as Yerusha Bekever means that a brother inherits from his deceased father, who in the kever can halachically instruct who to give Yerusha to. No. If there's a Yoresh directly, then that means that at that moment, the father passes away, he gives his son the permission and authority to spread the Yerusha and Nachala. And that power is transferred memela in the event that the son passes away. In the event the son passes away, then the Yerusha goes to those who are Yorshei Ha'av. Okay? That's why even if brothers inherit indirectly through the father, who is the original authority, essentially it is the brother who is manchil to them, and that gives them the ability to give the Yerusha to his brother. Okay? That gives them the ability to give over the Yerusha to his brother. And finally, a real overview in about 1 minute, 2 minutes. What's the order of Yerusha? Tachlis. What's the order of Yerusha? The Rambam in Hilchos Nachlos, Perek Aleph, lists all of these. We're going to quote this in a second. And the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Reish Ayin Vav. For those who like lists. Father, number one. Son, number two. Father goes to the son. If there's no son, here's where it gets complicated. If there's no son...
You said father one?
Father goes to the son.
Father.
If there's no son, it goes to the daughter. If there's no daughter...
Goes back up.
Then it goes to the father's brothers, otherwise known as the Mace's brothers. If the father doesn't have brothers, it goes to his father's brothers, a.k.a. his uncles.
What's after father's brothers?
If there are no uncles...
Wait, why do we not suggest the possibility of grandfather? Or his father?
If there are no uncles, then it goes to his closest living relative. Right. The same way a son inherits before a daughter, so too, if the son is no longer alive, the son's relatives inherit. If the son is no longer alive, the son's relatives inherit. So too, the son's daughters comes before the daughter itself. Comes before the daughter herself. If the daughter, it's just a straight line down from the son, Joshi. If the daughter is Morish, she takes precedence over the brother of the Morish. right? Her children have kadima over the brother's children. Her children have kadima over the brother's children. The same way that the brother's children take precedence over the uncle's children. The father of the mace takes precedence over the brother of the mace, otherwise known as the father's sons. He's closer to the mace than his sons, and that's what the Torah means. That's what the Torah means when it says, L'she'ero ha'karov elav. L'she'ero ha'karov elav. That's the mace's closest relative. The Torah didn't say the relative by name because it didn't want to speak b'lashon tsar, which is what we mentioned before, aschule peronas lo maschelinan, that the son would die while the father is still alive. That the son would die while the father is still alive.